Hello, welcome to the April edition of the I4S 17 podcasts. Today we're going to talk about the Transition Resource Group for I4S 17 meeting that took place on the 4th of April, as well as the ISB board meeting that took place on the April, on the 8th of April. My name is Andrea Pride and I'm with me today is Daryl Scott. So Daryl, let's talk first about the Transition Resource Group meeting. This was a relatively short meeting as it went. We've got two papers there, and the main discussion was on the investment component. Could you tell us a little bit about the discussion there?
Sure, Andrea. The discussion on the investment component arose from questions people were asking about the current definition and application of investment component in I4S 17 as it's written at the moment. And essentially there were three questions. The first one is to establish whether or not there is an investment component in a contract. The second one is to determine whether or not that investment component is distinct, so you treat it as a separate contract. And the third one is how you go about determining the amount of the investment component. I think it was a very useful discussion, and in the course of the discussion we got into details about how it is defined in the standard itself and how that definition should be read in the context of the basis of conclusions, which provides some context for the specific definition that is there. I think the discussion that we had at the TRG highlighted some of the differences in how the words are being interpreted or being read by people at the moment, and in particular sort of gave a little bit of colour to the process people walk through in reading what is in the standard and then reading the surrounding information that goes with the standard. It was also useful because it provided us with some input for our board discussion that happened the week after the TRG meeting. I think it's also worth mentioning that during the discussion, some of the participants noted that this potentially has a broader impact in terms of the definition, because under the amendments that the board is tentatively proposing, this definition will also be used as part of the CSM allocation. And I think the board members at the table did respond that that was clearly not the objective of what the TRG was looking at, and that what we were trying with the TRG process to do was to define the words as they stood in the standard, because that was the context in which the questions were raised. So that was the first paper. We also had a second paper which discussed 40-odd submissions, other submissions that we had received. These other submissions were all submissions that could either be answered directly using the words that were in I4S 17 itself, or did not meet the submission criteria for a TRG discussion, or are part of other discussions being held or considered by the board, for example, the AIP discussions that we're having. The discussion that we had during the process noted that some of the submissions were very specific to individual fact patterns, and noted in particular that there are areas where the TRG can't really help. The TRG process is not intended as an application guidance process, but rather to give help for people applying the standard at a higher level. And I think what was useful in that discussion is that the discussion really stressed the importance of trying to find a balance between providing helpful clarifications, where those can help people think about the words, but not actually be disruptive to processes. And the very specific fact patterns very often lead to that sort of disruption. Finally, I think it's important that the TRG was able to provide some feedback to the board on some of the other AIPs that we were, annual improvements that we were considering during the board meeting this month. This TRG meeting was the last scheduled meeting that we have. Clearly the TRG will, the submissions box for the TRG remains open and we'll continue to monitor TRG submissions that come in. But given the decreasing requirement for TRG topics, there are no further TRG meetings planned at this point.
During the TRG meeting as well, I think there was a suggestion, which I think is a good one, that we try and find some way of making the helpful discussions in a neat and usable package for everyone. So the staff undertook to go away and think about that. But in the meantime, if I can just make a plug for the agenda paper tracker, which already highlights where the TRG submissions relate to the paragraphs of the standard, I think that would be a good thing to look at. So the next thing I'd like to talk about today is the board meeting, which took place yesterday. Two sorts of papers being presented there. Some were tidy up papers, the sweep issues and the AIP, and the others were the papers where we started to look at the overview of the proposed amendments to I4S 17. So Daryl, give us a little bit of context about that.
Well, let me deal with those in two separate spaces, I think. Firstly, to talk a little bit about the sweep issues, and for the uninitiated, sweep issues in ISB parlance are essentially us bringing together topics that have arisen from past decisions we've made during a process, things that we've just heard about, or as we put together the package, things that jump out as worth a revisit or worth a discussion from the board perspective. So the staff brought back to us a number of sweep issues around the amendments process. Now, again, a reminder, the ISB in October last year embarked on a process to look at some of the challenges that have arisen during implementation of the standard and to see whether there was something we could do to address those challenges and thereby to possibly make the process of implementing IFRS 17 easier. And we set ourselves specific criteria in deciding to do that and in the process of which giving us a framework for how we go about making decisions as to what fitted within this amendment process. So the sweep issues that were brought by the staff essentially arose from the discussions we've had since October last year and kind of pulled together all of the various strands that we needed to look at or just finally consider as we looked at the package overall. I think in this context, there are probably two really important papers that were brought to the board meeting in April that I would suggest people have a look at if you want to get into the detail. The first is obviously the specific sweep issues that were raised, and they're all itty-bitty little types of things, but they have an important play out, and it's useful for people to understand what those underlying topics are. And then we had a paper that summarized all of the tentative proposals that the board is making that are going to go into the exposure draft. And what that did is it summarized it in a couple of different ways. It compared it against the criteria that the ISB had originally set, and it weighed up the advantages and disadvantages of each of those considerations. So in one place, you now have a paper that brings together the discussions that we've had up to this point in time. We took those forward to a permission to ballot. But before I talk about the permission to ballot, I want to talk about a parallel process that's been going on at the same time. Something else that the board does on an annual basis is essentially what we call our annual improvements. And annual improvements are about looking at clarifications within standards that are minor, so minor difficulties, minor changes that need to be made, very targeted in the context of where they appear, but are either creating confusion or in fact are contradictions within a standard. And we do this every year. When we issued IFRS 17, one of the things that we were looking at was whether or not any annual improvements needed to be made. And in June last year, we gathered together a few more of those annual improvements for the board to consider and agree to an annual improvement that we need to make. I say this is a parallel process. The board has decided that we will publish these annual improvements together with the other amendments we're considering, but clearly the test for the two is different. The amendments that we agreed were subject to a very specific criteria the board set, and annual improvements are subject to the board's normal criteria for annual improvements. And all of this will be packaged together in an ED that we'll issue later in the year. The next paper that the staff brought to us was looking at this entire package and asking the board for permission to ballot. Permission to ballot is essentially the board saying to staff that we believe the process is now finished and we would like the staff to go away and actually put together the due process document that will be issued. As part of that, the staff asks us if any of us intend dissenting to the package, and the board responded that we were not expecting to, that none of us were expecting to dissent. So that means the process can now move forward. The staff can commence with drafting. The drafting will happen over the next couple of months.
Thanks. And that drafting process, of course, takes place largely behind the scenes. From a public point of view, the next step will be the May board meeting, where the staff are expecting to ask the board to consider a number of sweep issues and also to set a comment period for the exposure draft of proposed amendments to IFRS 17. Recognising the need to get these amendments finalised as soon as possible, we'll be asking the board to consider a comment period shorter than the standard 120 days, likely to be around 90 days. And then, after that, we expect to issue the exposure draft itself right at the end of June. And that's just about it from us today, except to note that I believe some of you may have had difficulty in accessing the webcast live yesterday at the board meeting, so apologies for that, but just to assure you that the recording is now available on our website. Thank you for listening to our podcast.